Welcome back. I do have the opportunity and privilege now to visit with Congressman Randy Feenstra, Iowa's 4th Congressional District and gubernatorial candidate for the state of Iowa. Congressman Feenstra, thanks for visiting with me.
Aaron, always great to be on KCSI in Red Oak. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to visit with you, Congressman. Are you traveling the state and seeing all the fine folks in Iowa?
Absolutely. It's just been a fun time traveling the state, doing meet and greets all over the state, trying to earn every single vote today. And I tell you, it's just also been an honor serving with Joni Ernst. She's endorsing me, and she's out of Red Oak area. Mm-hmm. And what a privilege to be serving with her. And I know her term is about ready to end, and she's going to retire, but kudos to her and all that she's done.
Every time I have the opportunity to visit with her, I encourage her to reconsider that, but she hasn't yet, Congressman. I don't know.
So do I.
She hasn't. She's not listening to me on that. That's okay, though. That's okay.
Yes.
Congressman, one of the things, you're in D.C. looking to, or you are running for governor. What was it that helped you make that decision, just out of curiosity?
I tell you what, I love this state. I've been in this state. I've been from the private sector, head of sales of a large candy company, to a city administrator, county treasurer, worked in the state Senate where I was chair of Ways and Means, wrote the largest tax bill in U.S. history. And I just want to get back to the state of Iowa and make sure that we continue to take the state to new heights. And that's why tomorrow I'm announcing Students for Feenstra Coalition. Again, when you start looking at what our state needs, we got to get back to world-class education. When I graduated in 1987, we were number one, and we've slipped a long way. So we are working with these students, and we're having meetings with them to work on policy to get us back to world-class education. That means getting back to the fundamentals of reading and writing and math and not all these other political agendas that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of the bureaucracy in our schools. You know, all these teachers tell me we're doing paperwork, more paperwork than teaching, in fact. And we got to get the red tape out of our schools and get back to teaching. And I'm so excited to have these students in the coalition and helping create this world-class education that we're going to have in our state.
So, Congressman, and I did a little research on you, and your parents were educators, your wife is an educator, you were an educator, so obviously education, you're a PhD as well, so Dr. Feenstra, maybe I should be saying.
Yeah.
It's important to you, obviously, so how do you do that? I know you talk about cutting bureaucracy, cutting red tape, but what's the first step in doing that? I mean, it's easy to say, but maybe difficult to do. How do you do it?
It is, and it's very personal for me. Like you know, my parents are over 35 years in teaching, each one of them, and then my wife taught 24 years in kindergarten, and I taught at Dort University. And it really there's two things. First of all, it's making you got to put the kids first and work with the parents. And we have gone astray in teaching all kinds of stuff. We got to get back to teaching the fundamentals of reading and writing and math and history and doing it the right way. But when I talk to my parents and my wife, they have said that they spend more time filling out paperwork when Joey throws a shoe or Mary didn't eat her sandwich, or the Department of Education requires all these forms on every child and everything that's happening in the classroom that they're no longer teaching. And I know it's all in good jest that we got to do some of this, but we got to get out of the red tape. And you look in most schools today that there are two administrative roles for every one teacher. All right, that is wrong. All right, we got to have two. We got to make sure we have two teachers for every one or less administrator. So these are the changes, the fundamental changes that we got to make. But I'm creating this coalition to listen to the students also, to say, all right, you're part of it. What can we do to have you be more successful? And when you leave the high school with a skill, all right, there's a job waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to keep these kids here. They're our workforce of the future.
I want to talk to you in a minute about, educational savings accounts is one that comes up. When you talk education, that is one that is a bone of contention for some people, and some people really like it. I guess where I come on that, Congressman, is I'm kind of tight with my tax dollars, to be honest with you. I like small government. I like efficient government, but I want to know where my money's going. Do you feel like there's enough accountability with ESA going to private schools?
Well, I'll say this, is we need to make sure that any school that's getting ESA dollars, that they are equitable and equal to other schools, meaning that they've got to take all students, that every student should have the fundamental right to go to whatever school they want to. And you can't start having schools cherry pick students mm-hmm. and then say, hey, we can only take this student and not that student. That's wrong. We got to create fairness in the system, meaning that whatever school they want to attend, that they have the ability to take care of that child. Mm-hmm. All right? So, you know, you think about no child left behind, all this stuff. All right, that goes for every school, that if there's a special needs student, that school has to provide for them. That's how you start going down that world-class education path. And I truly believe that when all schools are starting to compete, all right, that it's going to raise all boats. But it's got to be in a fair and equitable way.
Okay. One of the things, Congressman, you can't talk about Iowa. I mean, it is impossible to talk about Iowa and not talk about farming and all of our great farmers that we have across the state of Iowa. And I know that you've been working on the farm bill. This gets above my head. But I know that you've had some real success with the farm bill, I think, that's in the last few weeks here. Tell me what's going on with that and talk to me about our farmers a little bit.
Yeah, I tell you what, our farmers are the backbone of our economy in Iowa, and we always have to remember that. When our farmers are successful, that means our main streets, our schools, our hospitals are successful. That is so important. I was at the White House last Friday. President Trump called me out at the White House and said Feenstra was a key instrumental role in creating this current farm bill. I think I had 15 bills in this current farm bill. Mm-hmm. But it's bigger than that. It's opening more domestic markets. It's making sure that we have E15 year-round. I am the head guy that's working with leadership, working with President Trump, working with Senator Thune to make sure we get a bill passed on E15 year-round. Again, when we need more markets for our commodities, we got to increase those commodity prices. That will make sure that our farmers are successful. And again, that will make sure our main streets, our schools, our hospitals, and everything else is successful.
Yeah.
It all pivots around the farmer.
Do you have concerns about the livestock industry? And that could be cattle, our cattle prices, and some of the stuff with California's Proposition 12. You had some success on that, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly right. So I'll just say the cattle markets, man, we've had over a decade where our cattle markets were just a struggle. Right now, it's great to see that our cattle markets, everybody's cash flowing there. But we have to make sure that we're doing it the right way, because I know how quickly that can change around.
Yeah.
Prop 12, so what Prop 12 is where California said that pigs can almost have to roam free. They have these massive gestation pens. It's actually dangerous for the pig. So I got this in the Farm Bill. It's called the EATS Act, to make sure that we preempt any state from creating policies that are interstate commerce that goes and flies in the face of the farming community like Prop 12 does. So that's in the Farm Bill. That's going to get passed. Again, we got to protect our farmers, and we have to understand, we have to make sure people know that the world food comes out of the Midwest, comes from Iowa. We are the most ag-friendly state in the country, and we got to make sure we keep it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, the cattle prices are something. I see armed guards going around some of the – I'm just kidding, Congressman. I don't see that.
No, I tell you what. So my in-laws, I mean, they buy 900-pounders, and you know, the cost of those things are just unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It is remarkable. Absolutely.
And it's scary because it really affects that beginning farmer. The beginning farmer can't get into cattle right now. It's just too expensive.
Not really.
And that's very disappointing.
Well, there's that, you know, honestly, in farm prices too. Look at land prices and look at the cost of equipment. It is remarkable, to say the least. Now, Congressman, not in the state of Iowa, but our neighbors to the west, you know, my heart goes out to those fires in western Nebraska, 800,000 plus acres of pasture ground gone. I mean, that hurts, Congressman.
Yeah, I tell you what, we had our National Guard out there from Iowa, which is wonderful. I'm glad we could help them out. We are really dry in western Iowa also, which is a real concern. I tell you what, we had fires in Woodbury County and Sioux County this past week. It's serious stuff. We got to get rain. I was talking to Nebraska congressional members, and they said, you know, this all goes away if we get rain. And we're just hoping like ever that this weekend we get rain, snow, or whatever to get moisture.
You bet.
We're ready to plant. You know, in the next 2 weeks, people are going to start planting. You get around April 15, that's that plant date. We're looking forward to that and get this crop in the ground, but we got to have moisture.
You bet. Congressman Randy Veenstra with me, 4th Congressional District and candidate for the governor of Iowa on the Republican ticket, and leading candidate, too, by the way, on the Republican side, I would say, from what I could tell. Congressman, so one of the things that there's just so much discussion on, and it's going to be front and center on your desk when you're elected governor, property taxes, property tax reform. Along with that, a congressman, comes a significant debt, about $1 billion deficit. So number one, I mentioned to you, I like small government, I like low taxes, I like efficient government, but also it seems to me we need to somehow need to address this $1 billion deficit. Tell me and explain that to me and make that work for me.
Yeah, I tell you what. So what has happened over time? You know, we had this 99% spending limit, all right, that was put in place when I was in the state Senate. Mm-hmm. Very important that you can only spend what you take in. But what we've done over time is we've also created this taxpayer trust fund that if we had any extra dollars from revenue coming in, we'd put it in this taxpayer trust fund. Well, that taxpayer trust fund now has about $3 billion in it thereabouts. And now no longer are we only spending what we take in. We have to get to a balanced budget. I tell you, when I'm governor, we will get to a balanced budget. You think about families. You can only spend what you take in, mm-hmm. right, from your wages. The state should be the same way. I agree. We got to have fiscal responsibility. We got to get back to making sure that that budget balances and not using excess money. And if there's any money in that taxpayer trust fund, that should go back to the taxpayer. And then lower taxes so we don't continue to accumulate extra dollars. On property taxes, the number one issue I'm hearing all over the state is property taxes are too high. Mm-hmm. I have seniors that have actually been crying saying, I can't live in my own home anymore because I can't pay the property taxes. Same thing with small businesses. So I have constructed a plan. It's not a one-size-fits-all, meaning that communities are all different, that Des Moines and Ames and Sioux City and so forth are different than maybe a town of 5,000, 3,000, 1,000, or 500 people. Mm-hmm. Some towns have different demographics. Some of them have a lot of seniors and not a lot of business. So you got to have a system that allows economic growth but also lowers the cost of property taxes. And that's why I'm working with city councils, I'm working with county supervisors, and working with school boards on making sure that the plan will work when the first day in office I can present it and we can get it passed through the legislature.
So, Congressman, one of the things, and I know you got to get here, you have other things to get to, but one of the things, I talk to a lot of cities and I talk to a lot of schools, and almost without fail, they say, I wish they would talk to us and ask what we want. And that's exactly what you're saying you're going to do. You're going to work with those entities to make something that makes sense. Because what happens in Sunshine Country right here in Southwest Iowa is much different than what happens in Des Moines or Dubuque or Council Bluffs really.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. And it's local control. All right. We elect city councils. We elect county supervisors. We elect school boards. We got to let them do their job. Now, we can put parameters on lowering taxes, but it's working collectively. I was a city administrator. I was a county treasurer. I worked in the city and the county and the state. I get it all. And it's making sure that they have a seat at the table and trying to figure out a solution on how we do this.
Very good. Congressman Randy Veenstra, how can people find out more about you, Congressman, if they want to know more about you, your campaign, your policies?
Anybody that wants to know more about me, they can go to veenstraforgovernor.com. Aaron, it's always great to be on KCSI in Red Oak. Thanks for having me on today.
Next time you're through Southwest Iowa, the studio's open. I'm just putting it out there, Congressman. So
I will stop by, Aaron.
Make it a great day.
Thank you so much.